Alright, so we're gonna start. Fade to black. Whenever you're ready, get a little swig if you need it.
It's over. It's over, Joker. It's over, Joker. We got you now.
Batman, I caught a little pawn.
That's it, sorry.
Oh no, Joker.
Alright, let's do this. That was a good Joker, though.
You like that?
Yeah.
Batman, I caught a little pawnee.
Okay, here we go. Starting in 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV-related news and topics. I am your host, Anthony King, and with me tonight is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And, of course, sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards.
I'm pretending like I'm writing something.
Oh, yeah.
To seem important.
But what are you writing over there? I want to call you out.
Just dicks. No, I wrote notes. See, I wrote notes.
Oh, you actually wrote some notes this time.
I wrote a lot of. I write notes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about it. See my fucking evidence? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Notes.
Anyways, we got some really interesting film news topics for you guys tonight. A lot has been going on, and some of it's just real sad, but some of it is actually pretty exciting. So we're going to start it off, of course, with the happy stuff.
I thought we were going to say the sad stuff.
No, I know, just flip it.
I was like, fuck.
Damn. Okay. All right, first off, what we have here, Eli Roth is launching his own venture capitalist company that finances films. It's like kind of like a crowdsource financing company.
What's it called?
He's partnering up
with Media Capital Technologies.
Yeah. Media Capital Technologies.
To create the horror section production studio.
Yes.
So this, when we're actually looking at on the website Republic, which they haven't put it up yet, but it seems like what they're trying to do is kind of like how they have it with like Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. You basically have open fans or just the open public crowdsource your films.
It's open source crowd, but with legal backing.
Yeah.
Because it does, like, when you go on the website itself, they have like other projects you could, you know, finance or what's called invest into. Mm-hmm. But they also have like legal paperwork beside it as well. Yeah. So there is actual something backing it.
Mm. Yeah, because you have another Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Who also uses this as well.
Okay.
And this is the guy who, writer and director who made From Dusk Till Dawn, Sin City, and Spy Kids.
Yeah.
Which was a very weird jump. I don't know why.
But, just to let you know, Machete and Spy Kids are both in the same universe.
That is so weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah. He launched his Brass Knuckles Films, his independent action movie production company, and pretty much does the same thing, also crowding through Republic for people to invest in. But the thing about this is that rather it being like Kickstarter, where it's just you just donate money.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's,
you're an actual investor into these films. So and when these movies make money, you actually get money back, right? That's what I'm understanding from this.
That's what he's saying. At least that's what he said on the actual video itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just going off of like Robert Rodriguez, his own one.
Mm-hmm.
There is no page available for Eli Roth just yet, at least.
Yeah, for the horror section, right?
But at least for what he was saying is you have an option to purchase IPs or portion of IPs for characters or settings or movies themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's talking about like doing original characters, which you would own part of the character itself, or even put money into future projects from his older films like
Cabin Fever,
Hostel,
Knock Knock, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So
he says that you can, that both accredited and non-accredited investors worldwide can invest up to 10% stock ownership.
Oh,
I don't know if that means 10% per person, because that wouldn't make any sense. Or it's like there's 10% of his whole company, and each person can invest a small bit in that.
Into 10%. That 10%, I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah, because it would, because then you'd just be bought out. Depending on how much you invest.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what he means by that.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's actually pretty interesting to actually go about that way, to have the fans basically keeping becoming investors into your projects.
But the, as well as people need to know that these are serious investors. These are not, you know, your typical...
Here's $5.
$5, $10.
Yeah, no. These aren't donations. Yeah.
These
yeah.
are small donations. These yeah. are like, most of these are mint, like Robert Rodriguez, his minimum is at $250 starting. Mm-hmm. And that would get you ability to, you could pitch your own film to him, receive an investor newsletter and raffle rewards. Mm. And that's just like the entry level. You go up to 500, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 50,000. And the highest is a million. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, yeah, Roth did say for those that invested a million, then he'd get to kill you
in his films. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean,
that's actually really interesting as the go about way to
yeah.
not only have people invest into your projects, but your company itself.
This does make me wonder if this becomes a success, will this become a new norm for a lot of, will this be a thing for large studios or more for smaller studios?
It has to be smaller studios who are focused on niche mm-hmm. types of films or projects. You see what I'm saying? Since this is horror and he's focusing on the horror section, this is something that can see blowing up and then start making connections and investments with like Shudder and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This has the potential of growing because it has just enough of a large niche audience.
Yeah.
So it has to be the right type of companies to do that, gotcha. Which it will be startups.
He did also say that this would also include old projects that he's done.
Yeah.
And that the overall production will cover not only theatrical films, but also television, or at least this is the plan. Mm-hmm. This is the plan that he says. That it would also cover television, games, podcasts, live events, as well as graphic novels, books, basically pretty much the whole enchilada, okay. you know, this is basically the horror version of, I don't want to say Disney, but just basically the whole background.
He made the comparison. He made the Marvel comparison. Yeah. 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 So he basically compared like it's their own version of horror marketing, how Marvel does it with Disney or what Disney does it with Marvel.
This part would definitely be cut out. But now, Adrian, if you invest into the bare knuckle, then maybe you can finally, or no. Depending on what the investment, you know, categories are,
yeah,
then you could finally pitch your.
You really could.
I mean, I have to wait for Eli Roth, not to brass knuckles.
Oh yeah, to Eli. That's what I mean. Like if Eli Roth, because they haven't given the parameters yet.
Yeah. But I mean, if they use the same parameters as brass knuckles, I would have to pay a $250 for it to pitch my idea.
But then you would have like a stake in it. Does that mean now you can pitch anytime so long as you put in $250?
Well, his thing, it says here that you put submissions and then you select 10 finalists and those 10 will be.
Oh, it comes like.
No, you could. You honestly have the best pitch because here you could pitch is like, look, you don't get it. My fucking roommate hates this idea. I need to fuck with him.
Oh no! I could probably pull that off with Eli Roth.
Yeah, you see,
a full.
Just give me this and make them terrible.
Just the, what's it called? The.
I want a whole entire like, where you have the remaining from whatever, and then they come face to face with the of their universe. Mm-hmm. And we need that, you know? And then we need a whole entire like,
like. No. What we need is that sequence from Mortal Kombat.
Yes, Armageddon.
Yes.
Just everyone fighting to
get up to the tower.
Because whoever gets the relic wins the save. There we go. I now just made a new one.
Oh, there we go. We introduced stakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
But yes, the horror section. This is actually a pretty interesting idea that I'm actually going to look forward to.
Honestly,
I might invest something into that if it actually is worth it.
Yeah. I'm reading to like the brass knuckles. And I'm like, I'm actually looking through other stuff that they're offering here.
You guys can also check out republic.com if you're interested in potential investing into people's projects. It's actually really interesting.
There's multiple projects.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, going over our next film news topic. Disney is scaling back Snow White's Hollywood premiere among the big controversies happening between Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot.
I really don't think they're that huge, though.
To everyone else, apparently, it's such a big fucking deal.
You know, we just had a whole entire conversation about
this. Yeah, yeah. So
and it really isn't that big a deal.
Apparently, both Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot at two different times said some shit, and no one can get over it. So now it really crashed this film hard. Like, it was already hitting controversies from the very minute it was announced.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
But I've never seen a film crash this fucking hard where they're just scrapping the Hollywood premiere. Like, no, no, just it's a pizza party for the gang. It's a pizza party.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. No, no red carpet, nothing. Just no, and they didn't even do ticket sale pre-sales until 2 weeks prior.
They're just going to what, the Al Capitan Theater, right?
That's yeah, it. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just supposed to be like only like a very few photographers and house crew.
So damn, you can literally hear somebody cough in the crowd. And you know who done it.
They're just going to listen. They said it was just going to be a pre-party movie and everyone go home.
Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever seen...
Damn, they got you hot and ready pizza. They didn't even get you Costco pizza.
I mean, have you ever seen, though, like a film like this hit like controversy after controversy? I mean, even though they're not big deals, like it wasn't like, you know, Ezra, you know, Miller fucking going on
this tangent. Only that wasn't Hawaii. That wasn't not big deal. That was big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
No, right. It was a big deal, but it still didn't affect the premiere.
That's true. He was still
That's true. It still had a much better premiere.
He was still there.
There has been fuck ups on other films, but
to take it to this level, like,
but at the same time as well, it could be. I mean, everyone's saying it's because of this. But also could be a cost, what's it called, a cost saving measure.
Yeah,
because shit's expensive.
What was the production of this movie?
I'm gonna say the millions.
I'm gonna say about under 200.
I'm gonna say 200.
209 mil.
Hey, look at that!
All right, saving money. But they did put a lot of money into marketing too.
Hmm.
The marketing was already paid and it was already done.
Yeah.
So what was the point of like cutting that? Like, what are you saving? You spent the money already.
Saving face. That's what they're doing.
Saving face.
Yeah. Because I mean, okay, obviously now the excuse is because of the things that they've said, either Gal Gadot, one of them two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which it always narrows down to what she actually said, that she never liked the original film.
Yeah.
And that got people bothered. Like, how the hell are you starting the original film and if you're not liking it?
That does make sense. Like, why are you in a movie if you don't even like the original?
Yeah. That's true.
Even, I mean,
you paid money to hate.
Yeah. And then as well, I mean, the reason we don't like it.
Yeah.
Is once we saw the actual
trailer.
Actually, no, even go stepping further back from that, one step back from that.
The stills, like the.
No, when they were told like, oh, we're going to have no little people. We're going to actually have a.
Normal people.
Normal. Well, not I won't say normal, but I will have a. A diverse cast.
When you're not normal.
Because then you get to an argument. What the fuck is normal? Now I'm not about to get to an argument.
I just like that fast backpedal.
Not even normal.
Someone's got to backpedal.
Someone's got to save us.
But a diverse cast.
Yeah, yes.
It was supposed to be a diverse cast. Uh-huh. We saw that one still image of them going down a hill.
Yes. Oh my God.
And the world fucking shit their pants.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's very true.
And they say, oh, our shit. Okay, we got to fix this up. So let's just animate it. And now it looks so animated to
it's
the point
so
where
fake, yeah.
It doesn't look right.
It's too much CGI. It's way too much. It's really.
I compared it to Kingdom Hearts. That when you go into into a realistic world like Pirates of the Caribbean,
yeah,
everyone's realistic,
and you look fake as shit.
And you got Donald Duck right behind you, and everyone is pretending like it's normal.
But yes, for this film to actually cancel its premiere, its red carpet premiere.
Well, it's not the only one. I just Googled a little bit. Besides, well, Flash still had a fucking premiere.
Yeah.
But
I'm talking about Disney, though. How many have Disney had?
Oh, Disney specifically?
Yeah, I said Disney specifically. No. I know other films have had a... But what other films? Oh, like, yeah. No. I mean, you brought it up.
You had Aquaman too.
Oh.
Well, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Too. Yeah.
I mean, Dune Part 2 didn't have one, but they did that for the sake of wanting, I guess they wanted a more intimate, like, fan base coming to see it.
Got it, yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. But Disney movies, let me see.
Yeah, Disney specifically.
Let's hit the Google. Oh, Wish and Strange World.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what they are.
You don't need to.
That kind of shows.
Don't worry about it. Wish was the one.
That pisses you off. That gets you. The villain. The villain gets you every time. I know.
The villain, the fucking overall look. They tried to sell me on the idea of like, oh, yeah, the story takes place in a book. That's why they look the way they do. Bitch, they just didn't animate the last layers on top of what they normally do for 3D animation. All right, Google that really quick. You know, it's sort of pissing me the fuck off. Plus, the villain is a Lin-Manuel Miranda type villain. All right? I want you to think of a Disney villain. Which Disney villain are you thinking of?
Melissa Fant.
That's the villain.
This is the villain.
Okay.
His musical piece. When you hear a musical piece from a Disney villain, what do you think? I'm thinking Scar.
Scar, you know, the...
I'm thinking Judge Claude Frollo, right? Real epic shit.
Epic shit. The more, you know...
Ursula.
I'm showing my power. I'm gonna, you know, fuck shit up kind of thing, you know. Puffing my chest out.
This man comes with some cookie cutter bullshit. Listen to this.
Can't help it if mirrors love my face. It's genetics.
Pause it there. I'm already fucking sick of it.
I'm digging it. I'm digging it.
All right.
But yeah, the complaints are like, it's not evil enough.
No, it's not evil at all.
But yes, we're getting.
And that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And that poster right there, that movie poster for Witch on that channel, if you click that, let me see if you can widen that up.
No, it's going to give you the trailer.
Look at the way it's animated already. What does that look like? Pause it. What does that look like? Already from its quality.
Almost looks like they're trying to sell shade.
Yeah, sell shade. That's what I was thinking of.
It looks like they're trying to sell me a B-rated type movie that was made by a lower quality animation studio. And try and sell me on the idea, no. They're trying to gaslight me into thinking, no. This is what it's supposed to look like because they're in a book. We're telling a story. You know what other story starts in a book? Every other Disney fucking movie in its originality. And none of them look like that. Absolute shit.
Yes.
That movie was shit. And Disney knew it. And so they reeled back on that red carpet release. And Strange World, it wasn't too bad. But, I mean...
It had controversy.
It had controversy.
Okay.
So I think this... Honestly, I think really what happened with Snow White, though... Disney is going through a major shakeup right now.
Yeah.
All right. So we got to go over this last film news topic before we hit our break. This is really sad. Technicolor, the company that's been around since 1916, colorizing television and just a big major player in just the film industry all in general.
Basically, like the color that you see on your movies, Technicolor, a majority probably had.
For the early classic films, yeah.
Technicolor was the one you went to color your film.
Yeah, they were the first people who were coloring film.
Yeah, that's why you see all the original Disney film or Disney animated films where this is brought to you by Technicolor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
But now this company filed for bankruptcy and they're finally closing its doors down.
What's the way they did it though?
There was allegedly reported in the article Puck that some offices had looting of artwork and computers.
And then
basically it was just massive panic.
I can't blame them, man. I can't blame them.
It's just fucking... Can you imagine just getting that email like you're working on a VFX on some sort and you're just like working on some rotoscope and like, God, today's just... This ain't it for me today. I hope something picks up and you get that ping on that email.
Yeah.
Reading it. And as soon as you read that, you're just.
I just ripped the computer out, run for it. It's like zombies at the glass door, like trying to break in, steal those like copies of like Kong and stuff.
Oh my God. Stealing shit that they don't even need.
I know. Trying to crack the vault.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Bye.
You got one person taking all the post-its and.
What a dick.
But yeah, this is really sad. Like I said, Technicolor has been around for well over 100 years. And yeah, even though they haven't been really prevalent, especially because I think like Eastman Color, Duplex, and a few others have like became major players ever since like that, at least like the 80s.
Yeah.
They have been, though, they transitioned from just color processing and they had actual VFX companies.
In my personal opinion, I think they did it a little too late.
A little too late for the transitioning.
Yeah. To me, it's the same situation with Kodak, mm-hmm, where they didn't want to go over to digital until it's too late.
Got it, yeah.
And unfortunately, these older companies, like, we are nostalgic for like, oh, these are established in Hollywood. But mm-hmm, unfortunately, if you don't keep up with the times, you don't move forward with it.
Yeah.
You're just going to cease to exist.
Yeah,
I'm also seeing that some of the looting included not only computer monitors, but even art on the wall that was hanging.
Yeah.
So I might want to check eBay.
I know.
They described the scene that it was a scene that the source described as madness, crazy, sickening, and heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, they were just told like in a few days, you're about to lose your job.
Yeah.
And that means like, oh, I'm just going to get, you know, I might not get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. I got to take this. I can make $200 off this monitor right now.
Yeah. I mean, shit. Yeah. They were literally just coming into work and they get an email saying that some of them even thought that it was an email scam.
Yeah.
Because there was no warning whatsoever. There was no notice sent to U.S. staff. There mm-hmm was no town hall or communications meeting from management. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They just got an email saying, oh, yeah.
And then some companies were currently working on some films that they had to quickly shop out for other VFX companies to finish for them.
Yeah. It was Lilo and Stitch, Mission Impossible, Final Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, actually, I think that was
just those two.
I think so far. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've worked on past ones like the Mufasa movie.
Yeah.
Didn't see it. I'm sure they worked really hard.
But yeah, now that they're finally closed down, do you think that it's going to be a big shakeup for a lot of companies? Because I know like color processing, that's not much of a thing besides for a few companies who have like a really grunt, like a stranglehold on that, like Eastman Color. And there is quite a bit of color processing companies out there.
Yeah, there is. But then again, you get into the whole situation of AI as well.
Yeah.
So, but again, we're talking about that technology always moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there will be jobs that would be lost because of it.
Yeah.
And now that we're getting AI, that's unfortunately
doing pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good, and probably do the same job they could.
Seeing the next type of industry, because a lot of people are thought like AI was going to come in and the first people who are going to get hit and lose their jobs were VFX people, but not really. I never thought it was going to be color imaging processing, but that makes sense.
With the amount of color correction, color grading.
Yeah.
With the amount of like digital capabilities that you can do now from our laptops, from our desktops.
Yeah.
Like we don't have to pay like thousands upon thousands of dollars to send it in for a daily when mm-hmm you can do it right in front of us.
I mean, as long as we do still have like 70 millimeter, like IMAX film, stuff like that, you're still going to have your big players involved.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Like I said, there are a lot of smaller companies out there who do color image processing who are probably going to be taken out and become obsolete.
Or absorbed.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's just the nature of the game. That's what mm-hmm it is. It's just that's what's going to happen. Small companies are going to disappear. I mean, that's like I said, this is not, I don't say blame AI, like, oh, AI is the fault of this. AI is going to destroy industry. No.
No, it's Skynet, man. It's all Skynet.
All
fault.
Skynet. Those sons of bitches. Them with their robot legs and those two-legged clankers. those diesel chucking John Deere Roombas. I don't need no clanker. I'm just letting you know right now, I am so prepared to become a robophobe by the time like 2040. Like,
you're ready.
Like the day that like I have a daughter and she brings home a robot to dinner, I'm gonna be so fucking silent at the table, right? Until something just pops me off, right? Something fucking stupid, right? And it's like, oh yeah, we have a Roomba, and it's like, actually my great grandmother was a Roomba, and I'm just gonna drop the fork and be like, I'm so sick of this fucking clanker talk, and I'm just gonna go off. I'm gonna love it.
But no, Andrew, I get what you mean about it. It is unfortunately the nature of what happens when, you know, technology evolves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna take a quick break from our sponsor. And when we get back to you guys, we're going to cover our main topic. So stay tuned. And we are back covering over our main topic tonight. This is pretty interesting. So a report from Puck detailed some behind the scene issues going over at Warner Brothers in regards to the Superman film. What they are basically suggesting is Warner Brothers is putting all their eggs into this basket. They are stressing out. They need this movie to be successful, or they fear that they're going to be in the same way how Fox ended up, where too broke, needing to get a buyout and getting bought out by a larger conglomerate. I would say personally, if that would happen, it would be Viacom. But yeah. do you think this is actually plausible for Warner Brothers right now?
This is very possible because, unfortunately, their last couple of films have been bad. To say that. because remember Joker came out?
Yeah.
There was Joker, and then you got also your previous
DCEU films.
Mm-hmm. DCEU films that did bad. Every single one of those did. Then you got your scrap films. Years. Remember those scrap films?
Oh,
Batgirl and Coyote?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Those ones.
Yeah, so it's just hit after hit pretty much for this for the company.
Yeah, since Warner Brothers has owned DC for who knows how long, it's honestly just been like a money suck for them. I'm surprised they haven't tried to sell off DC property or just the studio in general to someone else a long time ago if it was just costing them this much money.
Do you think it's more of like they still believe that this could be a money maker?
It can. No, it absolutely can, but yes. They've just been fumbling at it.
Mm-hmm. Like the entire DCU. I mean, every movie, it started out strong in terms of like profit, but overall, as the years went on,
out of almost all their properties, you had a decent Dark Knight trilogy, and that's it.
Yeah. Because there were, it looks like on this article I'm reading up right here, was they were heavily going off of all DCU, EU movies. Because they were pretty much banking on that they were making money, which at a short time they were making them money, just not as much as they anticipated.
Yeah, they were expecting to get Marvel numbers.
Yes. And unfortunately, like we talked in the past, was when they tried to rush something that shouldn't have been rushed.
Yeah, they should have took their time with it and build up an entire universe, something that was going to be well-respected.
Yeah, so unfortunately, again, which I feel like at this point is just cursed, is we might not even get the damn a new DCEU, or what they call, what's it called
the
now?
The DCU. Yes, DC Universe. So.
Yeah, DCU. We might even get that one now, because if this shit fails, we might lose the whole enchilada.
I don't know. Do you expect any failure that's going to come up? I mean, this is coming out this summer, and their biggest competition within the same like week or two is the Fantastic Four.
I'm about to say Jurassic Park, but okay.
I'm not throwing Jurassic Park into that. No, I'm sorry. Like, all the articles and everything is going to say those are the big three. I'm sorry. Most of the people are just going to go see either Superman or Fantastic Four. Those are the two big ones competing. They're going to drown out Jurassic World.
Or, hopefully, by pure miracle, we might get the Barbie Oppenheimer situation.
The double feature?
The double feature, yeah. Where people want to see both of them.
Honestly, that would be incredibly successful for both Disney and Warner Brothers.
So hopefully, I mean, they're not unfortunately not released the same day. They're releasing 2 weeks apart from each other.
Yeah.
But hopefully within that month where people want to see both.
Both of them, yeah.
Both of them. Honestly, people actually might see both of them to compare one to the other.
Honestly, yeah, that's very true. Because it is Marvel versus DC. That's the biggest fight right there.
Yeah, so they might. People are like, well, I got to check out the other ones if I want to shit talk it. So who knows? Actually might be financially successful because of that main reason.
But though there also is the possibility, though, that even with how successful this movie can come out, I feel like they are expecting that $1 billion mark.
I think it might happen simply because of an international view.
International. It's a recognizable icon around the entire world. Yes.
That's why. Fantastic Four is recognizable in, domestically, and maybe some of it, you know, sprinkled here and there.
Yeah.
But Superman's known worldwide.
Yeah, that is very true. It has a larger fan base and a larger pop culture reference in general, just into the world. Yeah.
Yeah. So my, at least my prediction is Domestically, Superman might not do as great as Fantastic Four, but internationally, it's going to be the other way around.
Got it.
So I think they might hit almost a billion dollar mark, but worldwide.
It needs to be good, though.
Like I said, international market. It's going to be the international market that's going to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Mike?
Well, let's see. I mean, yeah, there's a lot riding on this for Superman. I mean, shit. The studio even put out a statement following David Zaslav, saying essentially an element of the stock price is believing that the IP of DC is meaningful. David bet big that they can show the world that the DC IP can have real value. Superman is the first movie. This will set the tone. They have a tremendous amount riding on it. I know it comes with a lot of pressure right now.
A lot. That's like... It basically say like James Gunn, the entire fate of this company, Warner Brothers, is in your hands.
But I have faith that so far that even though this is a lot of pressure on James Gunn and on the studio as a whole, I know they're putting everything they can on these bets on Superman succeeding. And I know the overall history of DC has been rocky.
Yeah.
But I think so far it's showing good signs that it could be a really solid movie and could be genuinely very profitable just on the basis alone is that we have James Gunn. And James Gunn has shown that he can make movies and make money. You have the Guardians of the Galaxy. You had his Suicide Squad. You even had at the time where he made Brightburn, where it got extremely acclaimed by both fans and critics.
Yeah.
So his overall creativity... And being able to juggle multiple casts in movies, especially in this particular movie that has multiple heroes in it, I think could come out. I think could come out on top.
Do you think James Gunn possibly got Colonel Sanders? Don't you fuck me, James?
I think it's the other way around.
You think so?
I mean, he's the co-CEO of now DC Studios, new DC Studios, right? And I bet like he went to David Zaslav and went to the other. Executives kind of walking in, probably smoking a fat fucking cigar too. And I was like, I know you guys have had a lot of trouble in the past with your DC movies. I don't know why he's talking Cajun, right? But he's just walking in. You had quite a reputation. You had quite a roster of Henry Cavill, Gal Gadot, and even Ben Affleck. But now you come to the real savior, and I'm willing to make you money. I just have a few stipulations. One, don't fuck me. And probably put out his cigar on at the end of like the conference table.
On their paperwork.
And second, I require bleach hair dye.
They had like a 55-gallon drum of it.
But all jokes aside, I think he can pull it off. Because, I mean, did you guys ever see, oh my God, what was it? Creature Commando? Did you guys ever watch that?
Yeah, I watched it. Okay. It was good. Yeah, it was I liked it. Yeah,
right? A short series.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't think it really leads off into like, oh, we're going to get like a whole bunch of other seasons. If we do, cool. If not, whatever. But overall, that alone is another example of multiple cast roles getting even amount of a certain even amount of screen time and still be able to tell a really engaging story.
He knows how to pace his stories and pace the characters
probably. And make it in a creative way that no one would really think about.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I mean, that alone, I think, gives it high hopes. Not only that, Superman is already established in this movie. We're not getting another hero origin because I'm sick of fucking hero origins.
You just want,
I just want that, right? And I think with superhero fatigue, everyone's kind of tired of that. So the fact that it's already an established world kind of gives it already a base to like, all right, cool. We're just going to jump into it. He's here. He's been here. Let's just get on with the story.
I mean, that is also a concern, though. The superhero fatigue is here. It has been here. Do you think that could have any effect on this film where, like, even if it's good, some people just don't want to go to watch it because it's another superhero film?
No, actually, I've started narrowing down what the fatigue really is. It's not even the overall superhero theme. It's the superhero brooding theme is people are tired of it now. The stuff that I like, I get it that people are getting tired of. The whole brooding.
To darken a universe, to darken the world.
Yeah,
darken. Or to make it a little bit more realistic to self-reflect society. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that people are actually tired of that. That's why people love the Guardians of the Galaxy series. Mm-hmm. Because it is a superhero film, but it is fun out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even the Suicide Squad,
yeah,
the second one, yeah, it was fun. And people liked it.
People just want to go to the movies to be entertained, yeah, and have fun. It. Yeah.
And that's why. That. Yeah. So that's why those superhero films are more, getting more. People want to see that more. They don't want to see Batman in the corner being pissed off.
I mean, they kind of still do because, you know, the Batman is still going to be produced.
They still, but I mean, yeah, they don't want everyone to do the same thing.
That's very true.
They don't want, Superman brooding about, hey, how he's an alien in, you know, in our world, and how's he gonna live among us? And then we're gonna have, you know, I don't know, some other ones as well.
I'll always say this, like, I still enjoy the first Man of Steel movie. Like, I still think that is a really well made movie.
No, I'm not saying they're not.
It's
great. It's just
people are tired.
People are unfortunately tired.
Yeah, they don't want to see that. They want to have some. They want to be entertained now. They want to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think James Gunn does well in terms of his movies doing that. Even with the third Guardians of the Galaxy movie, with it being its tremendous lows
It gets sad, yeah.
But it's a tremendous low of emotion that brings you up into a high towards the end.
Yeah,
you
but know? That movie has heart. That's why.
Yeah, it has heart. That's why. Even though there are like really depressing fucking scenes, the movie has a lot of heart that makes all of those scenes equally important and necessary for them to happen into this character development, into the final scenes, and like the closing send-off to this whole trilogy kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So I think James Gunn is going to give us... I think he's going to give us a solid Superman movie.
Okay, yeah. What about you? You got any final thoughts, Adrian? Do you think this is going to be the moneymaker for this summer? Do you think Superman will be the summer blockbuster for this year?
I think this will hold on to... This is going to...
Or do you think it's going to be Jurassic World? It's just going to swoop both of those films under the rug.
That's going to be wild. Jurassic World just comes out of nowhere.
No, I mean, I would cry if that happens. You would just see me start crying, man. I'll feel bad. What I think is going to happen is just going to be... This is going to make another payment to wherever Warner Brothers is. Yeah, wherever debt they have. This is going to make another payment for them. So the electricity doesn't get shut off. Just hold them off till next month, man. Don't worry. I got next month, man. I just need this thing to work.
Yeah. Like, what's that debt looking at right now? I got to see before we fully close out.
I think he knocked a few off.
No, he did knock a few off. $45.3 billion right now.
At the end of third quarter of 2023.
All right. Oh, wow.
Look at so that. December 2024, $39.50 billion.
Ooh. So they've been making payments.
Yeah. So they finally been making the payments. They're finally making the payments.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. That's what we got. So
hopefully with Superman, they make another good payment.
And all it took was Batgirl and Wile E. Coyote. You know, just a sacrifice of movies.
They crawled so Superman can walk.
No, they crawled so he can fly.
Oh, yeah.
Warner Brothers right there calling him up. Hold on. Let me get another credit card. Yep, try this one.
Bro, they are making trades like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get that first round pick.
All right. We want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on thoughts on tonight's topic. How do you feel about Superman potentially being the saving grace of Warner Brothers? Do you love it? Do you hate it? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast YouTube channel. For our listeners, discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those to like and watch our videos. For our audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before we fully close out, Mike has those last end notes for you guys.
Yes, as Anthony has mentioned, all the different ways you can be listening to us, including Samsung, iHeart, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. But you can also be able to watch these episodes live at the time that they were recorded, usually around... let me check my calendar. Every Friday. Usually around every Friday, you'll be able to watch the episodes in which they are recorded over at youtube.com/TheRedBandPodcast. So look for the screaming microphone. And be sure to leave a comment down below of what you think we should cover next or what you liked about this episode, and share with a friend and even subscribe to it so that way you can keep up with the weekly videos that come out. And of course, our Patreon account that we have. Please consider subscribing to that too, because we'd really appreciate it, because more subscribers equals more content. So we really appreciate it if you head on over there, share with a friend or family so they too can also subscribe. And, you know, keep up with some cool stuff. We have a lot of unaired episodes, and there's also uncut versions as well of these episodes, because we do have a lot to say as they and then skim down for time. So, I mean, I'm coming up on 2 hours, but this will probably be like a 30-minute, 35-minute episode if you can. That's all I got.
All right, guys, you heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.